Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:35, and that's Pacific Summer Time. Today, what we saw was that the majority of markets were in positive territory, and the S&P closed out the day, despite some intraday fall, up about 1.8%. The Dow Jones about the same. Same with the Nasdaq, maybe a bit more than that. The composite was up almost 2.5%, and you know, this is has been accompanied by the euro getting a little bit weaker, and the yen getting a little bit weaker. So, and this is just a continuation of this lockstep between any kind of strength in the euro represents deleveraging, and very similar with the yen. Any real strength in the yen represents deleveraging, and then that will translate into weakness in stock markets. Well, of course, the big question on Wall Street, and indeed for a number of the European indices, is to what extent last week's the lows of last Monday are going to hold on the subsequent pullback. Well, yesterday was a pretty big down day, and despite the fact that the majority of shares were in positive territory today, what the index, in fact, did was recoup up just over half of yesterday's decline. Well, this is a modest rally relative to what we saw yesterday, and we're just going to need more. That this is still a very volatile environment, and despite the fact that the VIX, having been higher yesterday, was lower today, it's still holding these higher levels, and the volume isn't particularly impressive. So again, this a running theme over the last week has been that it is too early to say that this corrective phase has run its course. The much more likely scenario is that we are going to be presented with ranging, and that single stock volatility will remain a factor. But what we are starting, I think it's important to differentiate, is between shares that have at least paused or found support in the region of their respective trend means and those that have broken down. And you know, the number that, and then to also highlight those that are really deeply oversold. You know, obviously, if something has fallen a lot, then it's done so for a reason. And the judgment call, of course, is to what extent that bad news has already been priced in. But when we look at the oil market, that oil pulled back really very sharply yesterday, and I think capped the short-term bounce, but it was a little bit firmer in here today, and it does suggest that we're going to at least pause and range in the region of $40, and that may allow the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average to close, but a sustained move below 40, particularly on Brent crude, would be really required for some of the most bearish forecasts to come to fruition. And, well, it is very interesting that having had such a large pullback that people tend to extrapolate the trend and then say, oh, well, we're going to see oil trade in the 20s. I saw at least one person today making that claim. Well, there wasn't anybody saying that we were going to see oil trade in the $20 handle when prices were north of $100. Then people were thinking much more that we were going to have a retest of the upper side of that long range, and prices could get as high as $130, $140. People tend to predict what they see. And prices have already had a large move. We don't have a great deal of evidence that the low that's been put in over the last week is anything other than a short-term low, but it is certainly a bounce from the region of a previous area of support. So this isn't the time to, I think, become increasingly bearish of oil when it's already had a very large decline. And that's true, too, of a number of the oil shares, where you've had accelerated declines and very large overextensions relative to their trend means. But it's also true of not just the energy sector, that you can look at the mining sector and say the same thing. The gold sector is actually exhibiting relative strength in this environment by finding support in the region of the August lows. And if you look at the social media shares, And well, I think perhaps better to regard them as social media or as online retail. Then what we're presented with is eBay finding support in the region of the moving average, the same thing with Amazon. PayPal, having only IPO'd 2 months ago, has found support. And then those that were particularly weak on the downside, such as Groupon, is at least pausing in the region of the lower side of a two-year range. And Yelp is down 80% off its peak a couple of years ago. It's down from 100 to 20. And this is also an area of potential support. So, you know, there's been a lot of bad news priced into some of these shares. And, well, it's perhaps at this point that it is worth looking for evidence of support building or the potential for them to return to positions of relative strength. Where you are seeing a return to a position of relative strength is in Chinese banks. And they have been higher for 5 consecutive days. Well, you also have this military parade, which is nothing short of triumphalism in China. And that's taking place tomorrow. And I believe the stock market will be closed both tomorrow and Friday. Well, that's going to be an important one because obviously the banks have been supported ahead of this move, and the stock market, which is more than 40% bank on the A-share index, has at least paused in its decline. But to what extent is that support going to persist after this military parade? Well, we just do not know the answer to that question. But what we have seen is that the banks have rallied sufficiently that they could consolidate above their recent low before pushing further. They have pushing further higher. They have fallen enough that value has returned in here. And well, reserve requirements are still in the region of 17 or 18%. So, I mean, these are reasonably well-capitalized banks. And you know, one of the reasons that people have been so leery of them for much of the last number of years is because we just don't know to what extent they're going to be exposed to a property slowdown. And I suspect that we are going to find that out over the next year or two. But the fact that they are such a large weighting in the overall index, you know, they are really worth watching. Well, what we are also seeing is that, you know, the People's Bank of China's reserves at about $3.5 trillion have hit at least a near-term and potentially medium-term peak. And if we think about the economic issues that are being appreciated now that the Bank of China has decided that it is going to give greater freedom to the yuan and that it may trend lower, well, then the argument for additional reserve accumulation isn't a great one, and that the chances are that we will see that massive pile of reserves starting to trend lower over time. Well, China still has $3.5 trillion in the bank, so I mean this isn't a near-term problem. But what about other emerging markets? And you know, Brazil in particular, where the real really is accelerating lower and falling quickly towards the 4 real to the dollar level, and it hasn't been that low since 2002. Well, obviously, governance is everything, and you know, Dilma Rousseff's government has just had to deal with one corruption issue after another, and not least because she herself has been involved. And that's not particularly good for confidence, and their economic policy is being shown up to be, you know, pretty sadly lacking in the absence of a commodity bull market. Well, you know, this is rapidly creating value, and Brazil's competitive advantage is rapidly improving, and nobody's going to care until the real starts to bottom. And we haven't any evidence of that yet, but it is rapidly approaching an area of potential support, and the index in nominal terms is trading at the lower side of its range. So it is certainly getting to be a more interesting market the further down that the currency goes. Well, when we look at the precious metal markets, gold was, I think, a little bit steadier in here today, and platinum is holding the $1,000 level. And that's against a background where the industrial metals are, you know, really quite weak. and the LSE Metals Index remains in a steep but still reasonably consistent downtrend, and that is an indication of pretty noteworthy relative performance by gold, and that is certainly worthy of mention, that gold has been weak for quite some time, but that it is now starting to exhibit some of the traits of a safe haven that we haven't seen it do for a while. Well, and I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.